Amen. Let's turn our Bibles tonight. We're going to be back in the Psalms. We're in Psalm 98 tonight and 99 and Psalm 100. We're going to talk tonight about the Psalm of Thanksgiving. That'll be the last Psalm that we cover tonight. Remember that Psalm 96 through Psalm 100 have been called what we call the singing psalms. A lot of them have to do, are prophetic in nature as they deal with the millennial reign of Christ. So tonight, let's begin with Psalm 98, which cries out to us. The psalmist says this, "O sing to the Lord a new song." And look at the reason. "For he has done" what kind of things? Marvelous things. I'm ready for marvelous things tonight. Amen. Oh, in our lives, in our homes, in everything that we're facing, his right hand and his holy arm have gained him victory. And the Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. So it's wonderful to know that then, speaking of the nations, the Gentiles, all the world knew that God had defeated his enemies. Have you ever studied out words or looked at those words like God's right hand or holy arm? You know, that's symbols of his divine strength and power. Amen? Have you ever thought when it says holy arm, have you ever looked at that as God's holy strength? Did you know that everything he is, God is a thrice holy God? Amen? And isn't it amazing that he loves us? That he sent his only son to die for us? Doesn't that just blow you away tonight? And it says that there, it says it's gained him the victory. So Israel's enemies are God's enemies. And may I say to you tonight that your enemies are God's enemies as well. And he says he has remembered his mercy, meaning he's not forgotten it. His mercy, that loyalty, his love, and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. He says, shout joyfully to the Lord. All the earth, break forth in song and rejoice, sing praises, sing to the Lord with the harp. Any harps here tonight? I'm not talking about harping on something, but you know what I mean. With the harp, sing with the Lord with the harp or the sound of a psalm, with the trumpets, the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King, and let the sea roar and all its fullness, and the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. Isn't it amazing? You know, maybe the world would read that and say, you know, this is ridiculous. I read that and I want to shout. Amen? Did you notice that all of the earth is rejoicing? Not just part of, all of the earth. And not only that, all of nature is rejoicing. And you know why? Look at the answer in the next verse. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. In other words, with uprightness or with his truth, with fairness. Did you catch that? He's coming, number one, to judge the earth, the world, the peoples. Listen, one day, as the psalmist here envisions the return, the second coming actually for us it would be, not the rapture, but the second coming. When everything, every wrong, everything that has been done that is wrong is going to be made right. What a day that's going to be, amen? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Vengeance has been taken out of our hands. God knows exactly what's happening in this world. He knows the things that are happening right now in our world, what's happening in our nation. People killing each other every day, shootings are rampant. Sex trafficking is horrifying in our own city, Fort Worth. And you know what? Nothing escapes the eye of God. He sees every heart. He knows everything. Amen. Oh, and one day, every wrong, everything that people have done in secret. Was there a flash? Oh, I felt it. Was that an X-ray? I hope not. Whew. Man. No, listen. It's all going to be made right. No, it's all going to be made right. You know, I'll tell you something. If Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life today, well, then he will be your judge in that day. But he doesn't want to be your judge. He wants to be your Savior. Amen? See, every tongue will confess. Every knee is going to bow one day, either today or then. There's no escape from what's coming upon this planet. In Psalm 99, this psalm here, it centers on the holiness of God. It says, "The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim." Remember the cherubim there in the Holy of Holies, the big thick curtain, you know, and so forth that hid the Ark of the Covenant? Of course, in heaven, the real cherubim is there. Amen? Man, listen. It says, "He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion." Remember, Zion is Jerusalem, where the temple is. He says, "And oh, he is high above all peoples, and let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy." It should really read, "For his name," or "It is holy." His name is holy. Let me ask you a question. The Bible says that the Lord reigns. We know that's true. Amen? But the question we have to ask, do we see people, the world, do we see the people trembling today? They're not. It says right there, though, "Let the peoples tremble." They should be trembling. It said, "He dwells between the cherubim." It says, "Let the earth be moved." In other words, shaken. Well, is the world shaking today? No, but it's going to shake. Matter of fact, whether you know it or not, did you know the world, our world, this world that we live in, this place that is not our home, is really being shaken right now? Everything in our culture, everything in our colleges, everything in our government, everything in our schools, everything in our hospitals, everything in our universities, everything in our culture is being shaken. But there is a kingdom that we belong to that will never be shaken, and that's the kingdom of God. Amen? And while everything we see is falling apart or falling into place, as I like to say, loved one, we have absolutely nothing to fear and nothing to worry about. Amen? You know, there's an attack coming to the church like never before. I walked out of a store today and I was attacked by a person, an individual, not say who, whether it's a woman or a man, doesn't really matter, and verbally assaulted, and I still don't know why. All I did was walk out of the pharmacy. Do you know what I mean? There's such an anger, there's such a bitterness. And you know what's wonderful is to walk out of the pharmacy and be assaulted and just go, praise the Lord. You got a problem, honey. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we don't have to worry and we don't have to be afraid. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? So we look at all this and he says, "Oh, the king's strength." It says, "Also loves justice. You have established equity," or fairness, or uprightness. "You have executed," there's that word, "or established rather, justice and righteousness," which is that law and order in Jacob. So meaning, of course, Israel at this time when it's written. He loves justice. You know, God loves those who do what is right. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you're doing what's right. And it says he established equity. It means that God has given us his word so we know how to do what's right in this life. We know how to live. You know, apart from God's word, we don't know how to live on this world. Amen? He says here, "Exalt the Lord, our God, and worship at his footstool." And the reason, he's holy. So we're meaning to worship at the throne of grace. You know, God is a holy God. That's who he is. You know, it's hard to be pleasing in the sight of God or understand God our Father without recognizing his holiness. You know, there is only one way that a person can approach the throne of grace, and that is only through one man. Amen? The Bible says in Ephesians 2:18, it says, "For through him," meaning Jesus, "we both," meaning Jew and Gentile, "have access." I love that word, access. It means like a royal introduction to heaven. "We both have access by one Spirit to the Father." You know, Job, when God was questioning him and Job was talking back to the Lord, it's Job said in 42:5, he says, "Oh," to God, he says, "you know, Lord, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. Since I was a little boy, my parents have told me all about you. They've told me about you. But now," he says, "my eyes see you." It was a theophany, if you will. He says, "My eyes see you. Therefore," listen to what he says, "therefore I abhor myself. What a word. I reject who I am. I abhor who I am, and I repent in dust and ashes. Why did he make that confession to God? If you remember back when we taught that, I doubt it's a long time ago, wasn't it? But listen, he confessed this. He said, "Oh Lord, my view of you, it was just too small." What about us tonight? What is your view of God the Father? Listen, we belong to him. He belongs to us. We are his inheritance, the Bible says. He says, "Oh Lord, my view of you was just too small." He goes, "There's no one like you, God. There's no one greater than you." You know, remember in Isaiah chapter 6, the calling of Isaiah. It says, in the year when King Uzziah, when he died, it says, that, you know, that Isaiah had a vision. It says, "Oh, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." Don't you wish that happened right now? Boy, listen. When God shows up, did you know things change? Amen? He says, and above it stood the seraphim, or the burning ones, if you would. And each one had six wings, and two he covered his face, and two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried one to another, and they said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now listen to the effect of that song that they sing. It says, "And the post of the door of the temple, they were shaken, and the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke." Remember, smoke, the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, if you will. And listen to what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, "Oh man, I'm going to write a book." He said, "Oh, I'm going to be on TBN. He says, "No." He says, "Woe is me." You look up that word woe. You know what it means? Woe. Woe is me. And listen why. He says, "Because I'm a man. I'm not a God," he says. I'm dust. But I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, filthy lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Listen, he saw God. He saw, well, actually Jesus up there, a theophany on the throne, high and lifted up there in the throne room. Loved one, listen. He was mourning in his heart. He was grieving in his heart. He says, "Oh, listen, I have unclean lips." And you know where unclean lips come from? They come from an unclean heart. Listen, something happens. We see the truth about who we really are when we know and see God for who he really is. Listen to me. The longer that you walk with the Lord, the longer that you live for the Lord, if you're faithful in studying out the Word of God and praying, and you know what happens? You start looking at yourself and you go, "You know what? I don't really like who I am. The things that I think, the things that I want, I don't know why they're there, Lord. I keep renewing my mind, but my mind, there's so much junk that goes on." You know what I mean? And you see how holy and how pure and how good and how holy, holy, holy is God. You don't have a big opinion about yourself after that. You know what I mean? You know what you do? You give thanks unto God that he chose you, that he loves you, and that heaven is your home. Amen? Oh, that good work that he began in you, he promised that he will finish it, he will complete it until the very day of Christ Jesus. Oh, listen, that's what happened to Isaiah. You know, listen, I think the church today, the 21st century church, do we need a fresh vision of God, a fresh vision of Jesus, a fresh move of the Spirit of God? Yes, we do. Not only that, loved one, you know, we don't want to be like some believers today, and I say this without any judgment in my heart, but the truth of the matter is there's so many believers in America today. You know what they want? They want a God that makes them feel comfortable. Well, God doesn't always make us feel comfortable, does he? No. You know, someone said this. They said, "The person who criticizes the teaching of the Word of God by saying this, well, it's just too strong, it alienates people," they're really saying, "We want a God who makes us comfortable." Do you know that I have had over the years people get up out of the pew, the chair, and walk out because of the teaching of God's word. They didn't like what the word said. Do you know that's not my word? It's God's word. Amen? God's word doesn't always make us feel comfortable. Matter of fact, sometimes the word of God and the presence of God makes us feel uncomfortable. Amen? Oh, we don't want to be a comfortable people. We want to be a people that are being conformed into the image of Christ Jesus our Lord. And Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called or prayed upon his name. In other words, they were prayer people, people of prayer. And they called, again, they prayed upon the Lord, and he answered them. And look how he answered them. He spake or spoke to them in the cloudy pillar, and they kept his testimonies and the ordinance he gave them. And you answered them, O Lord our God. I love this. You were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. In other words, he brought correction. He disciplined. God chastens or disciplines those he loves. Amen? So I love that he says, you were to them God who forgives. Do you know that God is so ready to forgive our sin, forget our sin, to wash us and cleanse us by the blood? Therefore, you know what we need to do? Look at verse 9. It says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. And we all say, amen. He indeed is. Now, a psalm of thanksgiving, Psalm 100. We have arrived at the grand finale of the singing psalms, if you will. So this psalm of thanksgiving, I want you to note as we go through it. We're having a short service and I'm going to keep you long, but this psalm of thanksgiving is only directed to God and to no one else. You know, if I looked in my Jewish encyclopedia, and it states that there is no language has as many words for joy or rejoicing as does Hebrew. Think about that. No other language in the world. It says the Jews regarded the giving of thanks unto God as their supreme act in life. Now, look at verse 1. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. So that's a command, by the way, something that we're to do, to make that joyful shout. So it's when it says all ye lands, that includes all the lands, not just Israel. It's all of the earth. In other words, universal praise. Man, listen, one day, imagine it. Can you imagine one day every person on this earth shouting unto the Lord? Joyfully shouting unto the Lord, praising his name. Is that going to be unbelievable? But that one day, that is going to happen. Every person on earth is going to do that. And you know what? We don't have to wait to do that, do we? No, we can do that tonight. We can do that in the morning. We can do it on the way home. We can do it when we're on 820. Hallelujah. Number two, look at verse 2. Not only are we to make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the lands, all the earth, it says, serve the Lord with sadness. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the NIV version. No, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I want you to do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. I want you to look into your heart quietly tonight, right now, and ask yourself a question. Do I serve the Lord with gladness? Are you happy about serving the Lord? I mean, is it a blessing for you to serve the Lord? I mean, here we are. I mean, we complain about everything. Well, I've got to get in my new car, and it's raining. I drive to church and drink their free coffee. And you know, I've got to go to the nursery. And, you know, come on. God, you know, listen. You know, is that right? There's nothing worse than a cheerless servant of God. You know, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just serving the King of Kings, you know, the Lord of Lords, the fairest of 10,000s, you know, the one who's overcome Satan and sin and death. For me, I just, you know how it is. No, listen, loved one. No. You know, there's a scripture, one of the sad scriptures in the Bible. It's when God was reasoning with the children of Israel in Malachi. He says this. God says, they have said to the Lord, Malachi 3:14, you have said, God says, this, you've said this, you guys, the people, you're supposed to belong to me. You've said it is useless to serve God. Isn't that sad? It's an empty thing. It's meaningless. It's vain to serve God. Can you imagine a Christian saying, you know what? What good is it to attend church? That's what, you know, what good is it to come to church? What good is it to lift my hands and praise the Lord? You know what I mean? What good is it to share Jesus Christ with other people? To serve God is just such a useless thing. It's such a meaningless thing to me. Is that a tragic scripture? Oh, it gets worse. You ready for this? It goes on and it says, what profit is it that we've kept his ordinance, meaning the word of God, the law, the statutes, the judgments of God? It would be no different for us saying, well, what good is us for to renew our minds to the word of God? Does it do any good? It just takes up more space. Do you know what I mean? No, loved one, listen to me. It says here that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, the commander of the angelic armies of heaven. He says it's like they're saying worshiping God to them was like attending a funeral service. Dear Lord, singing to the Lord is just routine to us. Is it routine to you? Anytime you come to a scripture, you always need to ask, is that me? Amen? So we can understand, say, Lord, I don't want that in my life. Worship should never be routine. We should never come into here, this place and where we honor God with our lips, but our heart is about 15 million miles away. Amen? You know, God doesn't want that. That's not really worship, loved one. And that's what they were doing. He said, oh, what profit is it? You know, well, the psalmist just said, it said, we are to come before his presence, meaning he's here right now, and do so with singing. See, lifeless church worship comes from lifeless believers. Amen? Oh, we don't want to ever be there. Now, not only are we to worship the Lord, but look at verse 3 again. It says, know that the Lord, he is what? He is God. Do we know that? See, it's so easy to have a lot of head knowledge, but we don't have it in the heart. The word there, know, is a great word in Hebrew. It is yada. And it goes all the way back to when Adam knew his wife. And yada, in other words, it's a deep spiritual intimacy, and so forth. The word gnosko, that we use the Greek word to know, that means to experience the Lord. In other words, intimacy with the Lord, fellowship with the Lord. So it says, oh, do you know the Lord, that he is God? You know, Satan thinks he's a God, but he's not. There's some people that they think they're God, but they're not God at all. The Bible tells us this in Isaiah 45:5. God says, I am the Lord. There's no other. There is no God besides me. Isn't that good to know? Do you understand? Our God is the true God, the only God, the faithful God, and he is our Father. Every other God, whatever name they go by, is a false God. Amen? Oh, that's doctrine. We need to know that. Isaiah 45:21, it says this. He says, Have I not the Lord, and there is no other God beside me, a just God, a Savior. There is none besides me. Isaiah 46:9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, he says again, and there is none like me. Do you know what it's going to be like one day in heaven? I mean, you know, he's going to put a name upon our foreheads. You know, we're going to walk on streets of gold, whatever that type of gold may be. We're going to see things that we can't even imagine. Our whole mental vocabulary and word, everything will change. We'll never use the word death again, or pain or sorrow. And those words will be abolished. Do you understand? What a day that's going to be. You know, sometimes, do you ever just say, Lord, I wish you would come right now? Not that I want to escape leading people to the Lord or any of those things, but just to go home. I mean, to go home for all eternity and never experience any of sin again, any of those things ever, ever again, loved one. He says, oh, it is he who made us and not we ourselves. God is our creator. Amen? There's no such thing as a self-made man. I used to think that, didn't you? Well, I'm a self-made man. You know, I did it in John Wayne's voice, too. No, there's no such thing as a self-made man. Not at all. No, sir. You see, we, the believer, are we twice born? Yes. God, we're twice born. We have the natural birth, amen? But then we have the new birth or the supernatural birth. We're all now, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. God created you. He created me. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 139:13. He says, oh, for you formed or created my inward parts. You covered, or literally you knit in me, in my mother's womb. And so he says, oh, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. Or we could read it this way. You, me, the believer, we are the Lord's masterpiece. Isn't that wonderful to know that? That you're a masterpiece from God? It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. I'm so glad I'm not a mistake. A lot of people say, Bill, you are a mistake, but that's okay, I'm not. Amen? No, listen, we're not an accident. God, it says, before the world ever was, God started working on you, preparing you for what? The good works that you are now doing. Isn't that wonderful to know? Oh, praise the Lord for that. He says, not only that, listen, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, the people of God, they are to reside in the pasture of God. I want to ask you a question. When I read those things, I ask myself a question. That's why I ask you the same question. Are you feeding in his pasture? Boy, that's a good place to be. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? I shall not want. I shall not lack for anything. That's what that word means. Why? Well, the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. Where does he lead me? To green pastures. Beside still waters, amen? Now, those are the pastures of the Lord. We're sheep. Sheep are stupid. I'm not calling you stupid. But sheep, they don't know where. Do you understand? They have to have a shepherd. They have to have a shepherd to lead them, to get them into that green pasture, to get them beside still waters. Oh, no. He says, listen, no, we're the sheep of his pasture, loved one. Are you feeding in his pasture? Are you feeding on his faithfulness? What does the Bible say? It says, trust in the Lord, dwell in the land, do good, and then it tells us, and feed on his faithfulness. Have you ever just fed on his faithfulness? Do you know what I did the other day? I was praying about some things, and I was trying to remember in my journal, did I record a certain incident? And I went back, and I'm talking about all the way back, you know, in 92, 93, the home fellowship before the church was being formed and all that. And I started reading, and I was going, and I forgot the things that God has done, the faithfulness of God. Over and over, and I saw, oh, God, you did this. Oh, God, you did this. And God, you did this. I was reading how we moved from the old building to this building. And man, I mean, we only saved, there was $33,000 that we had saved. And I think I shared this with the church not too long ago. And we moved to this big old building, which now is so small. It was just this little one, remember? And this wing and the cafe, which was just a trash. It was horrible. No chairs, nothing. $4,000 a month to rent this place. Do you know how huge that was for 100 people? Thank you, Mario. Scold them now. No. And we had to do that. You know what it cost us to move into this place? $33,000. That's all the money that we had. It was all that we had. That we had to buy chairs, we had to buy this, we had to buy that, we had to paint, all the things. And then we dedicated the building, and friends and families and people that I've forgotten all about, they all came, and we were packed in that service. And get Guess what the offering was on the very first service in this building? That's exactly right. And I was reading that, I went, oh, you're faithful, Lord. And I started feeding on the faithfulness of God. I saw miracles and people that were healed and all the things in that book. And it made me feel like, oh, Lord, what happened to my faith? You're so faithful. We can feed on the faithfulness of God. Amen? It's so easy to look back and say, yes, Lord, you do this. But you know what? He does the same thing every day. He is the faithful God. Amen? We're the sheep of his pasture. And you know what? I don't know how you feel about this, but sheep need a shepherd. And we have not only the great shepherd, we have not only the chief shepherd, we have the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And Jesus said, and I know my sheep. They know my voice. And he says, they will not follow a voice of a stranger. Amen? Oh, what a great shepherd we have. Therefore, we should be like Israel of old. Look at verse 4. Boy, with all that, we should enter into his gates. Meaning, come into Jerusalem and look how? With thanksgiving to him. And not only that, bless his name. See, when the Jews came into the temple area, of course, no one went into the Holy of Holies. You know that. Or there in the outer court, holy place. Only in the outer court. But in the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolizing the presence of the living God. God was there. Man, they were coming. We're going to shout for joy. Well, listen to me. Do we have the presence of Jesus Christ right now? Yes. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's here with us right this moment. If we could only open our eyes in the spiritual realm right now, dear Lord, what would we see? We'd probably see myriads of angels. You know what I mean? Some of you have to have a lot of guardian angels, okay? Because, you know, you get in trouble. I don't know. But do you understand? All the things that God is doing for us right now, he is so good. We should be thankful to him. See, gratitude, the attitude of gratitude is not tomorrow. It's now. It's right this minute. Frustrated today, you know, this afternoon. Just, you know, you ever get just frustrated? Thank you. And I was thinking, okay, Lord, I am so frustrated, and I am going to go talk tonight about the Psalm of Thanksgiving. You know, I said, what kind of deal is that? I need to put some joy in this old man, you know, or whatever, you know? And I started thinking, well, all I have to do is be obedient and just start thanking the Lord. Just start thanking the Lord. Just start thanking the Lord. Not thanking because I'm frustrated, but just start thanking the Lord. Well, I finally got over it. Amen? Went back and had some fried chicken. You know, I feel better about myself already. No, listen, gratitude is now. And you know, we should have a heart set and a mindset on every service that we attend. I'm going to enter in to the chapel, and I'm not going to, I want to just praise the Lord. I want to find him and love him and worship him because he's due our gratitude. Amen? And that's what we need to do. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:14, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. You see, we live in a thankless world. Well, I should say a thankless, suffering, lonely world. But this is not our home. He says, therefore, by him, meaning Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lip, that spoken praises to God, giving thanks to his name. Thanks to his name. Listen, is God the God of all grace, the God of all peace, the God of all comfort, the Father of all mercies? Man, listen, that's a lot to give thanks for. Amen? The Bible tells us in Colossians 3:17, it says, and whatever you do, no matter what it is, whatever you do, you're washing your car, washing the dishes, scrubbing the floor, washing your windows, driving on 820 in a Corvette, whatever you do, you know, listen, it says, in word, that comes out of your mouth, indeed, the things that you do, your actions. It says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus. Everything you do, everything you say. The psalmist has said in Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Did you know that the giving of thanks is so important that God even commands it in His Word? Listen, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. That's a command. Isn't that funny? Rejoice always. We fall short of that, don't we? Do you know why we fall short of rejoicing in all times? Because we rejoice in the wrong thing. We need to be rejoicing in the right person. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he says, and I will rejoice. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Did you know that's a command? It doesn't mean that every moment we're praying, but it means that we are to be a people of prayer. Jesus told us in Luke 18:1, he says, men ought always to pray and not faint, not give up, never become discouraged. Don't let the devil beat you down, man. Don't give up in prayer, because prayer is the work. He says, again, pray without ceasing. And then he says, in everything, boy, that's a big word, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Man, you know, we're not to give thanks for the circumstances. We're to give thanks in the things that happen in our life. We're to give thanks for the object. And the object of our thanksgiving is Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the author, the finisher of our faith. And why should we be thankful? One of the great reasons, look at verse 5. For the Lord is what? Amen. You know, has that become a revelation in your life? You know, I know that we don't sing the song, God is good. We haven't been doing that for a while yet, that we're changing things up for the first time in my ministry, which, you know, I'm very teachable and bendable, like Chuck used to teach us, you know, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break. But you know, the Lord is good. I say that all the time. I say it. I even pray it. Lord, you're good. Lord, you are good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, meaning His love is eternal forever and ever and ever. He loves you. He loves me. He says His truth endures to all generations. Did you know, it says, look at it again, for the Lord is good. Do you know that that can be said of no one else? No one else. Well, of course, Jesus, of course. Jesus is God. Loved one, listen to me. It can only be said of God alone. Only God is good. Every second, every minute, every hour, everything that God does is good. Amen? And I know that man, I don't believe that. No, God is good. God is good. The Bible tells us that in Psalm 119:68, you are good, you do good. Psalm 52:1, the goodness of God endures continually. That's why, if we're going to live the Christian life, loved one, listen, let's be thankful daily. Let's embrace living daily. Every generation experiences the goodness of God. The Bible tells us, pardon me, in Romans 2:4, it says, do you despise the riches, Paul writes, of His goodness? Isn't that terrible, to despise the goodness of His riches? God's riches. The word despise means to put your nose up in the air, or consider God's goodness as just nothing, meaningless, in other words. It means to look down upon. Do you despise the riches of His goodness, His forbearance, meaning forbearance, God holding back? It says, and His long suffering, how God just keeps on waiting. He says, not knowing or not realizing, here it comes, that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. The goodness of God, not dangling people over eternal hell. You know, that's a given, loved one. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. God is so, so good. And that's the purpose of the goodness of God. Loved one, listen. The Bible says in Ezekiel 33:11, talking about the children of Israel, how God was begging them and begging them to repent. He had sent Jeremiah, He had sent Ezekiel, and they would not bend. They would not repent. They wouldn't change their ways. They wouldn't return unto God. And God cries out to them, and He says, oh, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. God cries out, oh, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? But did they listen? No, they didn't listen to God. They didn't listen to him at all. And what happened? They brought the judgment upon themselves. You know the goodness of God? He has extended that to every generation. Does God send rain on the just and the unjust alike? Amen. Everyone has experienced the goodness of God. Listen, Jesus told us there in John 3:17, he said, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. 1 Timothy 2:4, God who desires all men, not a few men, just a select people. He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9 says that for God is long-suffering, so long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Boy, I'm so glad I repented, aren't you? I'm so glad that the goodness of God led me to repentance. Listen, do you know why people despise the goodness of God? Do you know why I despised the goodness of God before I was a believer? If you read Romans 2, you went to the, I think, the next verse, the fifth verse, it talks about the hardness of one's heart. Boy, a hard heart. Man, what's worse than a hard heart? Do you know what a hard heart does? I don't need Jesus. I don't need a crutch. You have a crutch, man. You believers are, you know, crazy. No, there's such a fear in a hard heart. Did you know that? And that's why, if you, I don't know about you. That's why I didn't want the Lord. I didn't know anything about the Lord. I didn't know that I had a Father that loved me, that sent His only begotten Son to really. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't understand. Didn't believe it. I believed I had to do it myself. I had to make it myself. I had to be my own man. I had to be strong. You couldn't ever be weak. Do you understand? You never cry. Oh, man. You know, the first time I cried, I was 14 years old. I mean, I cried. I don't need to tell you why. But you know what? That was the most freeing thing that ever happened to me. I cried. I didn't have a hate in my heart anymore. I had peace in my heart. Loved one, listen, God is so good. We are so blessed. We have the most powerful, awesome God in all of the universe. Amen. There is none like Him. We should not have a hard heart against God, against our brother, against our sister, against anyone. For it's the goodness of God that led every one of us to repentance. Amen. And that's a great psalm of thanksgiving. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, O Lord, that you know you've given us a new heart and now we've renewed our mind. Oh, we love you. We praise you. We give you honor tonight. We give you glory. And we pray over again all those that are ill, Lord, this stinking COVID. Lord God, I pray that you drive out that plague from among us once again. Let it not attack the kids' church like it's been trying to do. And the praise band, Lord, is trying to empty us of praise. But you know what? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. We don't need a guitar. We don't need a drummer. We just need a people. We need a mouth to praise you. That's all we need. So, Lord God, let everything be taken away. But Lord, we're still here to praise you and to worship you and to love you. We give thanks unto you tonight. Lord, and again, I'm burdened in my spirit, not worried, but that burden to pray over Calvary Chapel Reynosa. Lord, the pastor and his wife, I know that they decided not to go out this Saturday to the square where they lead people to the Lord and witness and all the things that they're doing and how all the convenience stores they're shutting down tonight at 6 o'clock. They're already shut down, Lord. And the cartel said, Father, as you know, if you step out, if I see you, we're going to shoot you. We're going to kill you on the streets. Oh, Lord God, we pray over Mexico. And we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you reign there. I pray that you quench them, that you silence the threats, that you silence the weapons of fire. You silence it tonight, Lord, by your goodness and by your mercy, and protect the innocent people. And Lord, protect us tonight on our way home. And we thank you and give you praise that tonight the joy of the Lord is our strength. We love you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. We're going to close with we have 100 chorus praise band up there. Doesn't Jesse do a wonderful job? Yeah. We're so thankful. We're going to close with a song, and loved one, listen, after the song is over, if you need prayer, there'll be people here to pray with you, and I look forward to seeing you Sunday. Listen, I'm praying diligently, putting it together, but Colossians is going to be one of the greatest studies that we have ever done in this church. You pray for me as I'm trying to put it all together. In other words, the direction of the flow for us through this great epistle that Paul has written. I look so forward to sharing God's word with you on Sunday, the Lord willing. Love you dearly. Let's sing to the Lord.